The Lord is among us. Indeed, He is. At the end of the workday, many of us seek that quiet space, whether it's in our home or whether it's in the commute. It might be reading a book. It might be some time in silence. It might even be listening to music or watching our favorite program on television. Some of us enjoy talking on the phone. Some of us enjoy crafting, quilting, carving, practicing an art such as making music or singing in the choir. Some of us even enjoy working on a photo album. Some of us work out in the pool or on the bike or even on the dance floor. Whatever we're doing, we're intentionally creating space to refresh ourselves. Some of us crave that time away, time away from home, time away from the regular schedule. We can't wait for that vacation, that period of time where we can actually disengage from the daily grind and change our pace for a while. The practice of spiritual disciplines can actually help us in this. Now, I'm not proposing that we all close ourselves in our rooms and pray the evenings away, although that is one very valid and long practiced form of spirituality. Thank you, Al. What I'm trying to propose is that our daily rhythms may actually have space to incorporate spiritual practices that actually reinvigorate us, that recharge us, that give us strength and some degree of peace of mind on a daily basis. So we don't have to go away on vacation or even on sabbatical, although that is very much appreciated. We're just beginning a new series that will take us through the spring and the summer. The series is entitled Sacred Pauses. It's a book that is written by Abbotsford pastor of Emmanuel Mennonite Church, April Yamasaki. The book endeavors to give us some tools and resources as we seek time and space for everyday renewal, as we intentionally invest our time and energies in connecting with God. Some of us now pray, and some of us read our Bibles first thing in the morning. I'm one of those people. Some of us go cycling. Mike is one of those people. Some of us swim. I also do that. Some of us work in the garden. I know some of us are gardeners. Right, Neil? Ken? Some of us like to play sports. Nakashima's are in Whistler right now skiing. April Yamasaki proposes that with some intentionality, we can actually use these particular activities to go deeper in our relationship with God. And we can actually connect with Him in very meaningful ways during those times. This particular week's chapter is about creating space in order to connect more intentionally with God. So I want to ask you a question. When was the last time that we went on a retreat? When was the last time you went on retreat? Just think about that for a minute. When was the last time that you actually made space and time to withdraw? Time to leave the regular, mundane, or domestic responsibilities at home or work or family and get away from it all. Now, retreat centers are becoming increasingly popular all around us. Vancouver is surrounded by some of Canada's most breathtaking natural scenery. I call it God's Natural Cathedral. I love it here. No wonder there are so many in and around us. They are in high demand, retreat centers. The success of Stillwood Camp is a testament to that, and it is not exclusively used by Christian groups. All people know that they need some time to actually get away. In the Bible, Jesus invests time on retreat in the wilderness for 40 days and for 40 nights. This points back to the people of Israel who wandered the desert for 40 years before they finally reached the Promised Land. It also points back to Moses fasting for 40 days and 40 nights before he received the Ten Commandments that he was to present to God's people. Rest and renewal comes at the end of retreat. This is true for each of those biblical stories as we understand it, as we read about Jesus in Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11. In that passage, when the devil left him, suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Bible is filled with accounts of soul searching, but it is not restricted to remote areas or the wilderness. Silence, and solitude, and searching the scriptures encountering God in prayer and finding clarity and new purpose and personal transformation, they can take place in all other manners of contexts, not strictly a retreat center. However, in periods of extended retreat, as well as the more ordinary times that are woven into daily life, the critical issue, April Yamasaki writes, is not about geography. It's not about going away, she writes. A room at home may serve just as well as prayer in the wilderness. God is ever present and ever at work in us, the one in whom we live and move and have our being. And we're reminded of that as well in the passage that we read today, this morning. Spiritually speaking, retreat is less about physical space and more about personal focus. It's about being intentional and being attentive to God. It's less about seeing the wilderness and more about how we see ourselves from the interior. It's less about traveling to somewhere else and more about placing ourselves before God at his throne. And that's what makes it possible to retreat anywhere, anytime, even without packing a bag and leaving home. Personally, I am very much looking forward to a time of sabbatical. It will be a time of a different kind of work, mostly interior. I will do a lot of listening as I study and as I work, as I actually do engage in domestic responsibilities and renos and garden work, but also as we recreate as family. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. The question we need to answer is, are we willing to incorporate spiritual practices into our own lives, which are already fully packed? In my opinion, it's not just about how much or how little time we can set apart, nor is it even the locale. Wherever we may be, however busy or distracted, Scripture assures us that God is ever present, as we read in today's passage. Where can we go from your spirit? Where can we flee from your presence? If we go up to the heavens, you're there. If we make our beds in the depths, you are there. If we rise on the wings of the dawn, you are there. If we settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide us. Your right hand will hold us fast. God's presence is around us. It's behind us. It's before us. It's everywhere. And that makes possible the testimony of Brother Lawrence in his book, The Practice of the Presence of God. He writes this. He writes, "The time of business does not, with me, differ from the time of prayer. And in the noise and clutter of my kitchen while several persons are at the same time calling for different things, I possess God in as great tranquility as if I were upon my knees." And he's someone who is working in the kitchen all the time. Spiritual practice is one way of recognizing that God is always with us and that there is room in our lives, our very ordinary and sometimes very busy lives, to be with God. So many of our mundane activities can actually be those sacred pauses for a greater awareness of God and deeper personal growth. I and my family will be entering a time of sabbatical for 4 months, and we want to thank you so much for that gift of time and space. We very much appreciate that. It'll give us a chance to reflect and to consider our next 7 years, as Al and as Mike have said. We covet your prayers as we invest time into our health, mine in particular. Right now I'm still struggling through this really bad cold. But as we also focus on our familial relationships, both with our family and extended families, and as we think and take time to dream it all up again, and say, God, what do you have for us? What do you want us to do? What are you calling us to join you in this next step? We'll enter a different space of work as I connect with professor friends from Regent over one of their books and course offerings. I'll actually be following Daryl Johnson's book, Discipleship on the Edge, which is a commentary on the book of Revelation. So I've been looking at studying the book of Revelation a little bit more deeply. I come from very dispensationalist and conservative roots, and you, this church, and our church family has really stretched my boundaries in that. And as I came back from the Middle East, Israel in particular, and Palestine, I was very much challenged about how we interpret the end times and how we understand what that means for us today. So that's one of the projects that I intend on doing, is studying the book of Revelation with Daryl Johnson. I also intend on worshiping at other faith communities during the Sunday mornings. Our kids actually said, "Dad, you're not forcing us to actually like leave Killarney while you're gone, right? This is our community." And so I said, "No, you are all definitely welcome to stay, but I will not be going with you on Sunday mornings. In fact, I'll be probably heading out on Saturday evenings or on Sunday mornings, Sunday afternoons to other churches and to examine and see and participate and experience how other faith communities worship as well. So I'm not only enjoying worship with them, but also thinking about how we do worship and how they do worship and how we can learn from one another. We also will invest time together camping and building new bonds through time together and travel. And we look forward to exploring the interior. We look forward to enjoying the mountains, the national parks, as we camp outside. And as we enter the West Coast, perhaps in the Gulf Islands, and also time with extended family as the Froese family reunion happens this year at the end of August. Now, I realize that not everyone gets to enjoy the privilege of experiencing a sabbatical. It is, indeed, for us, a very big privilege, a luxury in many ways. So thank you. Once again, thank you. Spiritual practices, of which a sabbatical is one, are ways of recognizing that God is always with us and that there is room in our ordinary, oftentimes busy lives to be with God. So many of our mundane activities can actually be those sacred places for a greater awareness of God and deeper personal growth. One way I've been able to create space in my own world and my own mind is that I've begun to carry a prayer rope around with me. Looks like almost a rosary, doesn't it? From the Catholic Church. In fact, my mom is Catholic, who now attends a Christian Missionary Alliance church, and my dad is Anglican, but he now attends a Christian Missionary Alliance church that I was raised in. And so I'm familiar a little bit with these because my mom would sometimes have them, but I didn't really pay attention to that. But one of my friends gave these to me as a token of thanks for walking with him through some very tough times. And so I started, well, what is this? And he gave me an instruction booklet with it as well. But I want to share with you what this prayer rope is. It's been used by Christ followers for the past 2,000 years in various forms. It's intended to bring us into a space of mindfulness that we are ever in the presence of God by using our mind and our body and our spirit together. The touching of the fingers on each successive knot is an aid in keeping our mind from wandering as we pray or read through the Psalms. It helps us on being still before God. Here's the interesting thing. I love the symbolism that is inherent within the structure of this prayer rope. The color of the rope, you'll notice, is black, symbolizing mourning for one's sins. You'll also notice, if you took a closer look, that there are 33 knots symbolizing the life of Jesus, our shepherd. Each of these 33 knots is composed of 7 interlocked crosses. Biblically speaking, the number 7 represents spiritual wholeness. There are 7 days to the week. Creation was done in 7 days. There are 3 red Trinity beads, which represent the Trinity as well as the blood of Jesus and as well as the blood of the martyrs, of which the MBs understand as their spiritual forebears. The cross is based on a Celtic design. The circle within the cross symbolizes the endlessness of God's love and that the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ continues to offer hope and salvation for all through all time. There is within the symbol a chi and a rho, which are Greek letters that proclaim Christ is king. Gathered around the king, you'll notice on the slide, is a group of people. It's a community, actually, and it's the Anabaptist belief that the church is a place where God is encountered within community. That's the place where he's encountered. It's very meaningful for me. Now, this is no luck charm. It's not a good luck charm, or it's not an amulet or talisman imbued with magical powers That's not what it is at all. It's actually a tool. It's a reminder to me of my faith. It is an aid that helps me focus on God and helps me practice creating space as I pray or recite, or as I go to pick up James at D.G. Weir from school, and I'm walking, I'm praying the Psalms, and I'm using this as one way of creating space for me, some mindfulness. God, you are with me. You have not left me. It's a tool for practicing. Is anyone still watching the Stanley Cup playoffs? Okay, Ken, you are? That's great. You might be the only one in this room. Sidney Crosby is one of the world's best hockey players, and he's currently playing. Now, I'm not sure who to root for. I'm rooting for Sid. But our home team didn't make it. Calgary is gone, my former home team. Montreal is gone, and they are the ones I've been cheering for since I was a kid. So the last one to cheer for is Ottawa, right? They're a Canadian team that's in the playoffs. Who's Edmonton? I'm from Calgary. Why would I even consider Edmonton? Now, if they are in the playoffs, I'll raise a toast for them. But may the best team win. I do hope a Canadian team takes it, even if it is Edmonton. They're doing quite well. Both of those Canadian teams, 2-0, right? So, let's keep going. But in the world of professional hockey, Sidney Crosby is one of the world's best. He's recognizable. He's this generation's Wayne Gretzky. But ask the Pittsburgh Penguins captain's teammates about the most memorable, striking aspect of his play. And the odds are that they won't cite anything that he's done in a game, as amazing as his playing has been. Chris Kunitz, who's a veteran winger, said this. He said, "We get to marvel at Sid during practice, watching him do different things. When people don't get to watch him, we get to see stuff that no one else gets to see." There's another teammate, youngster, named Brian Rust, who spent much of the season on Crosby's line, and he remarked on the attention that his center places on preparation and his unrelenting competitiveness. He says this, even in a shooting drill in practice, he's battling out rebounds. He's trying to get the puck out in the net as much as he can. He has that drive. He does that hard work, and he stays on the ice after practice to do those little things like batting pucks out of the air, things you wouldn't necessarily work on. This is something that they mentioned. Crosby is usually at the rink before the rest of his teammates are. And he stays an extra hour after they've all gone home. He's renowned for his work ethic, and he practices, practices, and practices. No wonder why he's the best. So too with our own spiritual lives. If we want to be prepared for the inevitable, and they will come, the inevitable challenges that will come our way, we will benefit from spiritual practice and practice and practice. Practicing the presence of God, reminding ourselves that we are indeed not alone, but that we are loved by the one who surrounds us, indwells within us, gives us life and our movement and have our being. Brothers and sisters, let us practice the presence of God together. Let us remember that God loves us. Thank you again so much for this generosity of time and space. I personally look forward to connecting again with you in September. And so on that note, I'm going to ask the worship team to join me back up on stage as we sing our last song. And as we stand, let me bless us before we depart in peace. Stand, please. Now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make us complete in every good, so that we may do God's will, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God.